First of all, in speaking again on Bhaktavatsala, the name in Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, which means that the Supreme Lord is so lovingly kind to his devotees. Again, I must recall the great mercy of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, whose mercy is manifesting upon myself, in as much as this Vishnu Sahasranam has been discussed traditionally by highly exalted Vedic scholars. I come from such a different background. Srila Prabhupada's mercy that persons like myself, coming from not just unqualified, but by background disqualified, are now taking pleasure in discussing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as revealed by Sri Vaishampayana in Mahabharata, by Bhishma Acharya, and so many great acharyas. This name, Bhaktavatsala, gives us great hope. To be a bhakta, an actual devotee of Krishna, it's not such an easy thing. We may think, yes, I'm a devotee. Actually, to be a devotee is a very highly exalted position. But even if we take shelter of those who are devotees, they're very kind, the devotees are very kind, if we take shelter of them, then the kindness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will, by his own nature, he will like to extend his compassion not only to those who are the great pure devotees, but even those of us who are just trying to somehow or other please his devotees. Krishna will help. When we hear the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, we hear again and again and again how he comes personally to help his devotees. He comes to rescue Prahlad. He comes to rescue Gajendra. One of the most harrowing incidents in the Mahabharata, practically it's the fulcrum or the source from which the whole drama of the Mahabharata unfolds, is helpless Draupadi. Not just is she hopeless, but she's helpless. She's helpless. The big, strong Dushasan has taken hold of her. But she's feeling hopeless because her husbands are there who are quite competent to protect her, but being bound by dharma, the very powerful force of dharma, they can only watch her being insulted. This power of dharma that forced Dasharath to do that which was most distasteful to him, unimaginable to him, to exile his son, Ram, being bound by the trickery of Kaikeyi, who said, you have to follow dharma, you have to follow your promise to me, you have to exile Ram. So in the same way, the Pandavas, of course, Bhim, he was ready to crush everyone in the assembly right there on the spot for those who were supporting the disrobing of Draupadi. But he was also bound by dharma, by the words of Yudhishthira, who restrained him. And therefore, Draupadi was helpless and hopeless. It's the darkest moment in history. How a great devotee, a pious queen, a sinless queen, is dragged in public, insulted in such a way. It's What's the darkest moment in history? Is it Ram being exiled to the forest, or is it Draupadi being insulted in that way? We all face difficult situations in life, and sometimes extremely harrowing. At any time, we can be put into a situation which we just couldn't imagine how bad it is. But we should know, as Draupadi showed, Krishna is with us. When no one else can help, Krishna is with us. And if anyone does help in other situations, we should know they're helping, they're agents of the Supreme Lord. Krishna is with us. We should never become so desperate, so despairing of Krishna's mercy. Krishna is with us. Krishna will help us. He's the kind friend of his devotees. Even if someone just says the holy name with some modicum of devotion, or even without, but especially if they do with some modicum of devotion, Krishna is always willing to help us. So we may say, well, Krishna orchestrates everything. How could he let the Pandavas come to such a low point that they sit and watch as their wife is insulted in front of them? But Krishna has demonstrated that, however, by this pastime, Krishna demonstrated, however difficult a situation is put into, however bad the situation is, ultimately, Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janadana. Krishna will see to the victory of the devotee. He's on their side. The Pandavas must have been successful in the fight because Krishna is on their side. So it makes good sense to take shelter of Krishna. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna wanted to take shelter of his own mental concoction. What Krishna said to him didn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. And probably we all have this experience when we first read Bhagavad Gita. We think, yeah, this sounds very good. Arjuna is very good. Doesn't want to fight. Very good. And then Krishna comes in and we think, whoa, what's going on here? This doesn't seem to make sense. Krishna's chastising Arjuna for being like a eunuch, not wanting to fight, and his consciousness has become degraded because he doesn't want to fight. It doesn't seem right. But at the end we understand, as Arjuna understands, that we have to take shelter of Krishna. Our own mental concoctions, our own plans, they will not help us. We have to take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is competent to protect us. Krishna tells Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Chetasa Sarva Karmani, Chetasa Sarva Karmani, Mai Sanyasa Matparaha, Buddhi Yogam Upashritya Machita Satatam Bhava. In all activities, just depend upon me. Why should we depend upon him? He's Bhaktavatsala. Work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Matchitta sarva durgani matprasada tarishyasi. If you become conscious of me, Krishna says, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. Very difficult in the material world. If we're not finding it difficult, we're in Maya. If we think the material world is just like some game, we're in Maya. Of course, from one perspective, we hear Prabodhananda Saraswati saying that that this material world, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, is full of bliss. Well, that's if we remember Lord Chaitanya. But intrinsically, this world, it's not made to give us bliss. It's made to give us distress, made to give us the promise of happiness, just to give us more distress, ultimately. And therefore, hold on to Krishna. And then Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Then we'll find the whole world is full of bliss. Arjuna wasn't finding it full of bliss when he had to fight with his loved ones. But ultimately, he did what Krishna said, and that is his glory. Krishna further says in Bhagavad Gita, Yetu sarvarni karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyena eva yogena mangdhyayanta upasate te shamahang samudharta mrityu sangsara sagarat bhavami nachirat parta mayaveshata chetasam. Those who worship me, Krishna says, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So we should take this to heart. Be confident of Krishna's protection. Be confident of Krishna's help. We may have to suffer so much. Prahlad may have thought, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ is said to have said this. Why have you forsaken me? But we don't find that Prahlad, going through so much prolonged suffering, the suffering of Christ, that took place in just a short time. But Prahlad, for such a long time, he had to suffer so much. But he wasn't disturbed. He never lost faith in Krishna. Pandavas, they never lost faith in Krishna. Gajendra, so many. Dhruva Maharaj, he was rejected by his own father, insulted by his stepmother. His own mother couldn't help him. Gajendra called out for help. Draupadi called out for help. Dhruva prayed for the help of the Lord. Prahlad didn't. He didn't call out for the help of the Lord. Not that he denied Krishna, but he just felt, well, whatever happens, I'm in Krishna's hands. So different devotees have different approaches. The Pandavas, they, and even more so the Vrishnis who are living with Krishna in Dwaraka, they expected his help. They just presumed he's God and he's helping us. The Vrishnis in Dwaraka, he'll protect us. They felt no anxiety. Krishna is with us. That we should know. He loves us. Yes, God loves us. That's a fact. Why? There's no why. Why does the cow love the calf? We could do an interview with a cow. Why does the cow love the calf? Remember this name, Bhakta Vatsala. This Vatsalya, this... It's the mood of a cow toward her calf. It's just a natural affection. There's no calculation. Natural affection. Parashara Bhatta, in commenting on this name, he says that this name, this brings out the, it expresses the special attitude of Bhagavan toward his devotees. The devotees want to cultivate an attitude toward him of being his being their master, but not just their master, but being very, very close, just like in a relationship, like a family relationship, very, very close. The Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, takes great pleasure in attaining his devotees, just like we heard a few talks ago from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, composed by Sanatana Goswami, how the Supreme Lord was so happy when Gopakumara came back to him. Of course, Sanatana Goswami composed his Brihad Bhagavatamrita after the time of Parashurabhata. But the principle is eternal, either in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya or the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's the same Bhagavan, and he loves his devotees, this Sampradaya, that Sampradaya. He becomes so happy when his devotees come to him that he forgets everything else. He becomes in bliss. That is his bliss. This example of the cow loving the calf is extrapolated within the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, especially the Tengalai branch, in saying that, well, a cow loves the calf. Now, if you've ever seen a newborn calf, you see a calf getting born, the calf comes out of the body of the cow, and it'd be the same with a human birth or dog birth or whatever. The cow gives birth to the calf, and then there's, along with the calf, there's all kinds of gunk, blood, and all kinds of stuff on the body of the calf. It doesn't look so cute the moment the calf comes out of the body. But the cow doesn't think, ugh, that doesn't look nice. The cow is very happy, immediately begins licking and cleaning off all that gunk on the body of the calf. The cow doesn't see the faults. Even the calf, the mother is giving milk, and you can see the calf puts a head up like this, and sort of hurt. It's quite aggressive sometimes in taking milk from the cow. But the cow, sometimes you see they move their leg. It hurts them, but they don't chastise the calf or stop giving milk. It's the pleasure of the cow to give milk, nourish the calf, overlook what might be considered the misbehavior of the calf, protect the calf. She has her big horns to protect the calf. So the Tengalai, especially of Tengalai among the Sri Vaishnavas, they say that the Supreme Lord not only doesn't see the faults of his devotee, but has such love for him, just like the cow towards the calf doesn't think, oh, this is very dirty, I don't. Not only doesn't see the faults, but takes pleasure in nourishing the calf despite the faults, as if taking pleasure in the faults. Now, this is something which could be very much misused, that so the faults of the devotee almost become like something which the Supreme Lord enjoys, that, oh, the devotee does something wrong, but anyway, I love the devotee, and they don't even see the fault. Again, this could be misused. Fortunately, within the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, traditionally this hasn't been misused. It's not that Sri Vaishnavas, they deliberately act in a sinful way with the idea this will give pleasure to the Lord. But philosophically, the idea is there. Ma Shucha, they quote Ma Shucha from the Charam Shlok, from the what they call the Charam Shlok of the Bhagavad Gita, the Ma Saradhaman Parityaja, Ma Shucha, don't worry, I will clear you from all sins. So they take this to mean that your sins are there anyway, you're a devotee, so it's okay. Krishna, he says don't worry about it, so why should you worry about it? Not only does the Lord see them not as sins, but almost like merits, just like the parents, they what others may see as faults of the child, they're so much enamored by the child that they think the fault to be like a merit. And again, this could be seriously misused, but traditionally has not been within the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. It could be if the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya spreads more in the Western world. You can imagine that the Western people, they may take advantage of this. But the point being made is that the Supreme Lord, he's so much in love with his devotees that even if they do things which by worldly standards or even by devotional standards they shouldn't do, but if their basic attitude is one of devotion to him, then his mercy overflows. There are two considerations. One is mercy and one is justice. Where there's justice, you must be very strict. What is to be done? Yes, this is the law. You should be punished. Where there's mercy, all right, forgive, forgive, forgive. So in relationship with the devotees, the tendency is of the Supreme Lord, forgive, forgive, forgive. And for those who are against his devotees, even if from the worldly perspective, in other ways, they are very well behaved, they follow all the rules of dharma, but they are rejected by the Supreme Lord. They're considered the most sinful. Another example is that if someone's too much concerned with this is from the Sri Vaishnava Tengalai, especially, that why be so much concerned to remove a fault? The Lord loves you as you are. It's just like a lover, there may be some dirt on their body, so you may think, well, I have to clean that off. But the lover loves you. The other party loves you with or without the dirt. An example is given in this regard that when Sita Devi, at last, the battle is over, Ravana is dead, she had to come before Lord Rama. She bathed before she went, but Lord Rama was angry that why did you bathe? I love you as you are. No need to take baths. Here I'm going to read from Ramayana how when Dasharath said to the assembled ministers, highly respectable people in his court, that I want to crown Sri Ram as the prince regent. And everyone agreed, yes, very good idea. And Dasharatha said, well, okay, all right, you agree, but I want to know why you agree. Because he wanted to hear the glories of Lord Rama spoken. So one of the qualities of Lord Rama is being described from that part. I'm giving the Katanchit upakarena kritenaikena tushyatina smaryapakaranam satam apyatmavataya. Referring to Lord Ram, because of his self-discipline and determination, he was satisfied with even a single act of slight help rendered to him and did not consider even 100 offenses to him. So Krishna is like that. You do a little service, Krishna remembers. And then if you've done a little service, even there are so many wrong things you've done, even offenses to himself, he doesn't remember. But he did this, he did that, he did this, he did, yeah, but look, he did this bad, he did that bad, so many things. But what about, yes, Krishna says, he did all those things. But what about this good, he offered me a leaf, a flower, fruit, water, with devotion. Oh, I remember that. That is the Supreme Lord's tendency, to remember the good side. He was, so being described here, he's satisfied with any little act of devotion rendered to him, even if that act was performed in any manner, just giving a leaf, flower, even with some ulterior motive. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much against ulterior motives in devotional service because it kills devotion. But Krishna himself, he may have the tendency to accept that, but the devotees, they don't like that, that you're trying to cheat Krishna. Or even if unwillingly, if one performs service, one way or the other, if one performs devotional service, Krishna becomes pleased. Here's a quote from Bhagavatam about chanting the holy name. Sankityam parihasyam va stobam helanam eva va Vaikuntha namagrahanad asheshagahar Vaikuntha namagrahanam asheshagaharang viduhu. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. So, someone chant, somehow or other, Krishna, being pleased with that person, will relieve them from unlimited sins. Now I'm going to read a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada's purports I'll read a couple of them in which he invokes or mentions the term Bhakta Vatsala. The first I'm reading is from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 7. Please listen carefully. It's very sweet. As the devotee is always anxious to render service to the Lord, so the Lord is ever anxious to render service to the devotee. The Lord admits herein that although he certainly has the quality that anyone who receives a slight particle of the dust of his lotus feet becomes at once a great personality, this greatness is due to his affection for his devotee. It is because of this affection that the goddess of fortune does not leave him. It's very interesting, isn't it? This saying that even Lakshmi Devi herself could leave Narayan. She could. She's not bound to stay. In one sense, she's not bound to stay. But she's bound by his affection for her and his affection for his devotee. The goddess of fortune does not leave him, and that not only one, but many thousands of goddesses of fortune engage in his service. In the material world, simply to get a little favor from the goddess of fortune, people observe many rigid regulations of austerity and penance. The Lord cannot tolerate any inconvenience on the part of the devotee. He is therefore famous as Bhakta Vatsala. Then from the same third canto, chapter 24, text 29, purport. Devotional service is such a powerful transcendental method that it surpasses all other methods of transcendental realization. The Lord says, therefore, that he lives neither in Vaikuntha nor in the heart of a yogi, but he lives where his pure devotees are always chanting and glorifying him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsala. He is never described as Jnani Vatsala or Yogi Vatsala. He is always described as Bhakta Vatsala because he is more inclined toward his devotees than toward other transcendentalists. So this name gives the idea that his love for the devotees, there's no boundary to it. There's no end to it. It's not measurable, as the Supreme Lord himself is immeasurable. His love for his devotees is immeasurable. And we could add to that, it's illogical. Why should you love someone so much when they really don't do that much for you? They can't really do anything for you anyway. What can we do for Krishna? We can't do anything to help him at all. It's illogical. It's not based on self-motivation. Illogical in the sense that, yeah, why should you have any affection for someone who can't intrinsically do anything for you? But that's just his nature. His nature is he's so grateful, so kind, so loving. He takes such care of us, even though we're so small. He has nothing to gain from us whatsoever. But nevertheless, he's deeply attached to his devotees, ever merciful, ever kind toward his devotees. He loves all the devotees. It's not anything, he should love me. So many devotees on so many planets, different sampradayas, they all approach Krishna. Krishna loves them. He not just loves them, but he's anxious to protect them, like the cow is anxious to protect the calf. It's just like the calf. What has the calf got to offer to the cow? Nothing. It's a one-way street. The cow is only benefiting the calf. There's no way the calf can benefit the cow. But the cow doesn't make any logical consideration. A natural love is there. What can we give him? We have nothing to. We can give him a fruit, a flower, leaf, or water. What is that to him? He wants our love. He's love is a very, very important thing for the Supreme. It's the thing he's very, very, very concerned about. There are so many different discussions. Theism versus atheism, the power of God, does God exist? No, it's just all chemicals. They're missing the point. Love. Love is the principle by which the Supreme Lord reciprocates with anyone. Here's a very sweet quotation from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 23. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. His favor is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotees is unlimited. Let's read that again. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, right? Okay, that's one of the core definitions of the Supreme Lord. His favor is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. Practically, favor and mercy, they're very similar words. But it's emphasizing the point. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotees is unlimited. So we can see when we see a cow and a calf, maybe if we live in the big cities, we don't see cows and calves. But it's a very common sight in the rural areas to see it's cow with a calf. It's very auspicious to see the cow with the calf, especially if the calf is drinking the milk of the mother. So when we see that, after hearing and discussing this name Bhaktivatsala, we can think of Krishna with his devotees. The cow is very, very happy when the calf is taking milk from her teats, and then the cow turns and licks the calf with so much affection. Here's Ramanujan, an acharya in the Sampradaya. This is V.V. Ramanujan. He gives an example of Krishna's love for his devotees, expressions of his love for his devotees. Vidura's wife, it's generally said, was offering. He was so much overwhelmed with bliss. Krishna has come. So what did he have to offer? Some bananas to Krishna to eat. So what do? You peel the banana and then you give, right? But out of bliss, being overwhelmed, forgetting himself in bliss that Krishna has come to my home, feeding the banana skin instead of the banana. But Krishna was also in such bliss that he didn't even notice that I'm being given the banana skin and not the banana he was eating. These are wonderful stories. Wonderful story. We hear wonderful stories. The Vishwarup, the form of the Lord, showing the form of the whole universe, all the power, all the opulence in the universe. But this is more than how the Lord is eating the banana skin instead of the banana. This is a dearer pastime. This is what Krishna, more than showing the universal form, Krishna likes to eat banana skins. Very strange God. Yeah. Very strange. Very strange God, inasmuch as his love for his devotees it's outside the realm of our comprehension. We're all, in material consciousness, we're always calculating who's big, who's small. God's the biggest of all. Look at his universal form. And here we have him going to the house of a poor man and eating banana skins. It's off the radar. It's out of our sphere of understanding. What is this? God? Yes, this is him, Bhaktivatsala. Bhishma, another example given by V.V. Ramanuja. Bhishma, lying on the bed of arrows, waiting to die, meditating on Lord Krishna. Krishna said to the Pandavas, that lion among men is lying there. What's he doing? What's Bhishma doing lying on the arrows? He's just thinking of Krishna and meditating on Krishna. Having said that, Krishna himself became lost in thought of Bhishma Dev, and he forgot everything else. Some quotes. Snehalesha peksha matra Sri Krishna kripara. Oh, wait a minute. Missed one. Ishvara, this is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, must be. Ishvara kripa jati kuladi namane bidure ghare Krishna karela bhajane. The mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not restricted to the jurisdiction of caste and creed. Vidura was a Shudra, yet Krishna accepted lunch at his home. So there we go. that just like the cow enjoys licking the calf who's covered with dirt and blood and so many things, there's no material consideration. So in the same way, Krishna enjoys breaking all the Vedic regulations to show love to his devotees. Then, snehalesha pekamata Sri Krishna kripa snehava shahaya kare shatantra acha. Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently. Ah, this is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then, from the purport to this verse, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful, but his mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection. and nothing else. Sneha lesha pekra matra. Even a little bit of affection, Krishna becomes dependent on that. Service to Lord Krishna can be rendered in two ways. One can serve the Lord in affection or in veneration. When service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy, going beyond veneration. When service is rendered in veneration, it is doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is actually involved. If Krishna's mercy is there, it is not dependent on any prescribed caste or creed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inform Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a very, very, very high-class Brahmin, a family, Sarvabhauma, that Lord Krishna is the spiritual master of everyone and does not care for mundane caste or creed. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited the example of Lord Krishna's accepting food at the house of Vidura, who was a Shudra by birth. By the same token, Ishvara Puri, an empowered spiritual master, could show mercy to anyone. As such, he, Ishvara Puri, accepted Govinda, although the boy was born in a Shudra family. When Govinda was initiated, he became a Brahmana and was accepted as Ishvara Puri's personal servant. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatan Goswami states that one who is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. A pseudo spiritual master cannot transform a person into a Brahmana, but an authorized spiritual master can do so. This is the verdict of the Shastra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the Goswamis. And then the conclusion of this discussion, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was asking, how could Ishvara Puri keep as a personal servant this Govinda, who's from a Shudra family? And in reply, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wrapping up the discussion, says, Marjada hoite koti shuk sneha acharane, paramananda hoi ja nama shravane. In conclusion, dealings in affection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead bring happiness many millions of times greater than dealings with him in awe and veneration. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotee is merged in transcendental bliss. So we can see that in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, basically they're worshipping in a mood of veneration. But then they see they get so excited by the name Bhakta Vatsala. So it's just coming to the point that yes, he's supreme, we're worshipping him, he's so great, he's protecting us, as Bhaktivatsa, but just coming to the point where love reigns supreme, which is the point which is so much emphasized in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Love is supreme. Elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's stated in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is being so tough, rules and regulations, I will not see Prataparudra because he's a king. I cannot see him. I've got to be tough. But Raja Tomare Sneha Kore, the Lord is told that the king loves you. See, you're tough, you're being God here, but you have a weak spot. It's called love, and the king loves you. And to me shneho bosh, you are controlled by devotion. Tar shnehe karabe tare tomara parosh. Therefore, you're finished. You won't be able to maintain this attitude of strictness toward the king. He will come up to you. He will touch you. You will be overcome by love. Now, here's more purport. Generally, we call that person poor or unfortunate who is deprived of wealth, possessions, and a home, right? Someone's poor, no wealth, no possessions, no home. One who has these things is called rich or fortunate. People try to accumulate wealth in order to find happiness, and not the opposite. Happiness is the real wealth, not external possessions. So what's happiness? Krishna himself is the personification of happiness. So what is the difference between wealth and poverty? One who has love for Krishna is rich. One who doesn't have love for Krishna, however rich they may be, they are very poor. Vidura was seemed to be a poor man, but he was very rich. Duryodhana seemed to be like a king. He was very poor. He had unlimited riches, unlimited in the worldly sense, but he was very poor because he had no love for Krishna. The Supreme Lord used Kolabecha Sridhara to show the world who was truly wealthy and fortunate. The Lord is conquered by loving devotion alone and by nothing else. Hare Krishna. The Lord is conquered by loving devotion alone and by nothing else. Having said that, I'll finish this session. Thank you so much to all the devotees who are kindly encouraging me in this glorification of the Supreme Lord, helping to remember He, by remembrance of whom we all become, He says it, I'm not saying it, we become dear to Him, we become close to Him, we want to be sheltered by that Bhakta Vatsala. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Dante Nitaya Chunakang Padaya Nipatya Kritva Chakakushatame Tadaham Bravimi He Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durad Gauranga Chandra Charane Kurutanuraga Parivadatu jano yatatata va nanu mukharo na vayang vichara yamaha Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vidutama Nartama nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.